An ability that enables us to filter something out of the flood of sensory perceptions that we can order, evaluate, recognize, and know. Recognizing patterns is pivotal for the way we orient ourselves in the world. It's essential to survival. Without pattern recognition, the world would not be sound for us, not even noise, but a constant hiss, like in the radio space. Listening means wanting to recognize. Figure and background, forms, structures, repetitions, sequences, symmetries, order and variation. The background, the hiss. Really nothing but a whole lot of signals that perhaps you could decode, but in this case you can't, or don't want to, or don't have to. The figure, discrete, that is, distinct from others, from other things. Sometimes a describable structure. The pattern, a structure that exists more than once, even if it doesn't necessarily have to repeat itself again and again in the same place at the same time. But even if you don't necessarily see it in the same space, in the same time, you will recognize it. It's your memory, your recollections that function like a book of patterns, a database where you've stored those structures that, perhaps not on your first encounter, but by the second or third meeting, you've decided are relevant. Or maybe someone's pointed out to you, said, that's important, you have to note that. Do you sometimes think about your pattern book? Probably not most of the time. After all, that's why you put it together, so that you can refer to it without thinking for too long, automatically in the fraction of a second, even before your consciousness says what you are seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling or tasting. But sometimes, and maybe more often than you would like to assume, it's different. Quite possibly, doubts will occur to you just as you're about to name the thing you think you know. Or possibly not. You say the name, rather like a conspiracy. I recognize you, I know you, I know. That it might be another person, another thing, different, doesn't interest you. It's not supposed to interest you, it mustn't interest you. You could drown in the hiss, you could drown in this strange, alien world. You don't want to be a blind swimmer, but that's what you are. You cling to your pattern book like a sailor in the maelstrom, clinging to a log. Save me. The pattern book says, don't worry. Everything that counts is set down in me. Anything you're looking for, I'll find for you. Figure and background, forms, structures, repetitions, sequences, symmetries, order and variation. Of course, you suspect it's a lie. It's far too effortless, the writing and the reading, the looking for and the finding. The images claim to be the same, but they rarely are. They might be similar, at the most. Nevertheless, you're grateful, and you grab hold of it. You don't ask about those tiny nuances which might actually turn out to be meaningful. You don't want not to know. If it doesn't fit, it will be made to fit or discarded. That is the power of the pattern book. When you imagine your pattern book, and you sometimes try to do that, you think about a hefty tome, worthy of the library in the Tower of Babel, thick as a brick, bound in leather, more pages than you can ever count, but always blown open by some mysterious gust of wind at the right page, so that with your rapid finger you can run through the lines until you find the right pattern to decode your perceptions. But that's not how it is, of course not. You just imagine the images as you imagine the book. Really, there are just flickering neurons, on, off, off, on. The flickering forms the pattern. Whether you see, hear, feel, smell, taste, or only believe that you are seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting, on, off, off, on. What you think is recognition and understanding is just a reflex. A reflex with a reaction time that delays because the program is running through a different loop. A machine could do it just as well, maybe even better than you. Or could it? Hiss. A sea of data where you float, swim, dive, go under, but usually don't drown. It'll only become a maelstrom, high waves, a great ocean, in those rare moments of disorientation when you really notice it as it is, or, to be more precise, when it becomes clear to you that you would never really be able to perceive it in all its magnitude and wholeness like this. At most you could be aware of its dimensions, but even those are hard to imagine. You know that trying that isn't really a very good idea. It's much more pleasant occasionally to wonder at the sublime. You've cultivated a whole number of tricks to deal with that, powerful tools and finely tuned instruments. With their help, you can generate images of the sea, sometimes calm, sometimes a silent mirror surface, perhaps gently curling foam, maybe a mountain of waves, at most an angry crest, and then maybe that maelstrom, which threatens to tear everything down into the depths. The empty mirror and the mountain and the maelstrom, all these are images, and they would be far too big for you if you were really inside them. But the hiss is much bigger than you can imagine in your images, more than the sea. There is no horizon, there is no boundary, no time, no space. The hiss is eternity. It is everywhere and every time. A sea of data where you float, swim, dive, go under. But it's never the same, at no point in time, at no place. Like an entire field, it offers your senses no orientation. Or perhaps it does. Perhaps the hiss can order itself, what you used to call nature. Stripes, waves, meanders, tiles, patches, checkers, foam and trees, spirals, tears, figures and background, forms, structures, repetitions, sequences, symmetries, order, variation, recognizing and mistaking. Why is that so important? You know there's nothing there, quite the reverse. You know there's not nothing there, quite the reverse. It's far too much for you and your senses, these overlayers, these layers in different densities, these movements in all different directions, this entropy. The hiss is answered by your brain with neuronal hissing. What is unbearable for you, this infinite, it's about to change, becomes one. An undecodable polyphony that turns into an unbearable loud voice. The hiss can scream, but you wouldn't understand it. Your brain screams with it. It's the neuronal hissing. That's what you don't tolerate. So you can simply turn it off. You stick with your patterns and you cling to your patterns. You're looking for something, you're groping, you're listening, you're staring for anything that you can cling to. The stripes, the waves, the meanders, the tiles, the patches, the checkers, the foam, the trees, the spirals, the tears. But who actually told you that structures, figures and symbols have to have a meaning for you? You drown with your senses in the hiss, in the sea of data, confident that your pattern book is going to offer you a log, a raft. And it does in most cases. And anyway, who would look a gift horse in the mouth? You grasp this solid-looking raft. You're more courageous already. You don't have to cling. Perhaps you'll jump onto it, and then you can start drifting elegantly across the crest of the waves, a surfer on the way to Phoenix Asteroids, ready to ride the crest. Perhaps you'll try again and again and again, jump and again. Turn those logs into a bigger raft, a boat, a ship even. You could leave it at that. You could just surf across your sea. You could just sail. But soon, you see, you can't do that. At least, not in the long run. You need order. You need place. You need understanding. You're looking for meaning, interpretation, sense, figures and background, forms, structures, repetitions, sequences, symmetries, order and variation, recognition and mistaking. There must be signals out there that are meant for you. Your searching ear will find them out. That's all it can do, after all, effortlessly, defying its own anatomy, which is just as sensitive as your naked skin. But the ear has learned to turn off the screaming of the hiss. Bravely, it keeps the hiss confined to the background, like the street noise, the chattering that is nothing to do with you, the music that doesn't touch you. Just every now and then, it jumps. Perhaps if the wind is slightly stronger in the leaves, or a signal cuts through the air, or a name is dropped in a conversation that sounds like yours, or words that sound as though they might have something to do with you, or if a noise comes out of a direction that it shouldn't come from, like in the steppe, with the predatory animal ambushing you behind the bushes, except that there is no steppe now, no predatory animal, and no bushes. Only that irritating ringtone that your neighbour has in the underground train, the roaring engine of the 4x4, whose driver is scared of coming far too late for the rest of his life and is prepared to risk your life to do that, as your ear has now told you. But everything can hiss. The hiss can hiss because you've stopped listening to it. To deal with the rest, you have your pattern book. It draws pictures of the descendants of the predatory animal that really are perhaps as dangerous as those things that you cannot shut your mind off from for other reasons. The sound of the things, noises of the unpopulated and the populated world, things you've already met, things that other people have taught you, languages you speak, languages you don't speak but know, the voices of those you love, sometimes those you hate, sequences of sounds that you love and sometimes those that you hate, and so on. Like with a radio receiver, you can turn them up or down, maybe change the frequency. The pattern book will help you there too. A sound, a resonance, a voice, a sequence of notes will emerge from the hiss, and another noise, another sound, another resonance or voice or sequence will sink back into it. And while you, on your raft, in your boat, glide across the waves of this sea and listen, you can be confident that your pattern book will carry you to safety. It'll help you, perhaps, to erect another mast and a crow's nest, too, to add another sail and maybe a rudder, so that in the doldrums you can make progress. Perhaps some dinghies for stormy times, but who knows, maybe your proud ship might one day become a spaceship and you can glide off the oceans through the universe and conquer it. But here, now, when the thunder of silence vanishes again, you'll hear the hiss again. This time your ear cannot shut it out. This time you listen to it. This time you're listening carefully. Your searching ear has found something that it can't order. Just a little joint in the evenness of the waves, a signal. And all at once you are all reception. However hard you try to grasp it, it keeps drifting out of your grasp. Make an effort. No, your pattern book won't leave you in the lurch. Sooner or later, it will deliver the goods. If you're on your own, someone will call your name. Some alien intelligence. Its messages travelling for light years through galaxies. Friends you miss. Members of the family that have died, they'll come back to you, voices from another dimension. That's why it's hard work to understand their language, to grasp the meaning of their words. But what's that got to do with anything, now that you're so sure that the hiss is just the sum of all signals and the universe is speaking to you? You know the universe is too big for you and your raft. in your little coracle, even on your proud ship, your carry-on gliding on the waves, your spaceship. A dream, sooner or later its fuel will run out. Endless space, the cosmos, with its endless expanses, can only be conquered by technology. Structured mathematics, the music of the spheres. So your seeking ear has a yearning, just as your seeking eye does, for a machine. You equip it with sensors and receptors, like your eye and like your ear. That's how it should function. And like your pattern book, only better, with incorruptible precision. Of course the feelers don't really feel, they just register values that can be evaluated, compared with your pattern book. The machine can't do much, but what it can do, it does well. Compute, register, check, compare, collect, sort. Forms, structures, repetitions, sequences, symmetries, order and variation. What you believe is perception and recognition is just that, nothing more. The world is converted into chains of numbers. Some are similar, some are identical, some repeat themselves. Whether there are differences and how many and how big the differences are, all of that is decided by the rule that the computation is based on: addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, logarithms, functions, algorithms. The decisive thing are the operators between the values. That's when the values can come into their own. However complex the mathematics, it can be reduced to an original, simpler one. Reduction. That's how your pattern book comes into being. That's how the pattern book of the machine comes into being. And that's why it works exactly the same way as yours. What doesn't fit is made to fit or discarded. For the machine, there are no predatory animals and no music. No life, no survival, no love, no hate, only the pattern book. Registering, checking, comparing, collecting, sorting. If that's all it's about, then there's really no difference between recognizing and mistaking. You should be aware of that when you call for the machine to replace your searching ear. It's not a spaceship that will enable you to glide through endless expanses, explore unknown dimensions. It's a space that reduces your universe to what is drawn in the pattern book of your machine. Is that what you want? You say the radio space is a universe, but of course you don't really mean it that way. Because this universe is neither endless nor unfathomable nor unknown. You can switch it on and switch it off. It has a program and you have the choice. Your pattern book helps you to choose. And so, you think, you can be quite certain that this universe belongs to you, even if you share it with others. You switch it on, switch it off, switch it on. And if you feel like it, you can switch it on and drown it out. A hiss in the background, so that you can stay in your little coracle and glide over the waves without being threatened with wreck. Don't worry, says the radio. Anything I broadcast for you is just for your ear. I'm the machine with the human voice. I'm the machine with the pattern book. And it's exactly like yours. Of course you suspect that's a lie. It sounds far too effortless. And nevertheless you grasp for it. Thunder of silence, music of the spheres, you know you couldn't bear it. Just like that hiss that contains all the signals of the universe. But sometimes you ask yourself, what would it be like without your pattern book, without the pattern books of the machines? What would it be really to glide on the broad sea? A quiet sea, with no foam, no ship, no raft, no log to cling to, where you are simply driven further and further on, sucked into the maelstrom that devours you, with no recognition, no mistaking, no figures, no structures, only background. A universe that is truly infinite and unfathomable, in which you can happily sink and drown.